What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
You want to do it?
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Get it. I like to intro the intro, yeah. Greg. So.
Delaney's yeah. letting me do it this week. Yeah. Delaney usually takes it.
Yeah,
oh, white chocolate.
Are you the hype girl for the yeah. intro?
I try. I bomb every intro I've ever done.
Yeah, sure.
So like they're nice enough to let me do it like once every six episodes.
Yeah.
And yeah, I tank it hard.
This they is feel my impression of Delaney doing the intro.
Okay, we're doing it. This is happening. The podcast is occurring.
She
okay.
says it's podcast time a lot.
It's podcast. It's you know yes. what? It's a really unnatural thing to announce it your is. Own podcast, it feels like.
Yeah.
I don't like it either.
Yeah.
My partner and I are like, and I'm Greg Barron. I don't, who cares? Don't they know? They already know. If they came this far, like yeah. nobody came here by accident. This isn't something somebody happened into.
Yeah, right. You know? This isn't playing on the speakers in Starbucks. Like, yeah. they clicked on this.
Get that, right. you think?
That'd be okay, cool.
That's
they read the log
idea.
Line, so yeah, yeah, they're prepared.
They'd let us say fuck in yeah. a Starbucks, yeah. right? We're just like,
I'd love
self-care.
That. I'd love it if they just ran podcasts in there.
That,
in
would, be, that would actually perfect. Be very smart.
Someone call
them.
Barnes & Noble.
That'll happen at some
okay.
point.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Self-Helpless podcast. I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And today we are so excited. Because we have an amazing guest that, quite frankly, we weren't even sure would say yes. We're so stoked. If you've been listening since the beginning, you listened to our first episode in which Delaney talked about her first self-help book ever, mm-hmm. which was It's Called a Breakup Because It's Broken.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Yep. This and talked about it.
You were 19, this is, right?
I was 19.
Yeah, I've listened to a few episodes. I'm just like,
oh, yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, look at
that's
that.
Why we asked him on this podcast so that maybe he'd listen to yes. our podcast. Is the amazing stand-up comedian, author, just talk show host. Just he's done everything. He's got a special on Amazon. Is that guy from That One Thing? As well as a new podcast called Rock Out with Your Doc Out, which
Rock
you just
out
told
with
us,
your doc yeah.
just told us about, which is super cool. And yeah, Mr. Greg Barron.
Wow, so sweet, thank you.
And I met you, I think it was Flappers or The Improv, it was something. And it was like a while ago, it was in the last couple years, and we were like mutual Twitter followers, and I was like, I could send him a message.
And I was like, do it.
And you were so nice about it.
Do
you were
it.
Like, I'm so into this stuff, for sure, let's do it. So
yeah.
you said you have a lot of opinions on self-help and whatnot.
Well, I mean, I've been doing it for a long, I mean, I've been around it a long time.
Yeah.
And I didn't get into it intentionally, so I, yeah, so then you end up having a lot of opinions about it.
Right.
A lot of what you guys have, a lot of those opinions have been echoed on this show. That, I mean, that's why I enjoy it. But
awesome.
I find saying flappers harder than entering Flappers is so hard to tell people. Like, it's a challenge to tell people that's where you're working. It's hard. Like, and I've been doing this for years. Yeah. I played at P.O. Pan's, which was in Santa Barbara. Like, I played some really poorly named places, but Flappers just feels it gross is. And
feels dirty
and stupid.
It is.
And it's not a bad club at all. No,
it's fun.
It's just the names
the
are
name.
The worst.
Weren't you saying, like, Magoobies is a name, but it's a beautiful place?
Yeah, I'm at Magoobies in Baltimore in a couple weeks.
Yes, I played Magoobies.
Yes, and it's, like, beautiful club. Yeah. The worst name ever.
Yeah, who? I don't know why. It's a weird thing. That's a weird, like, yeah. Well, we're comedy, so we got to be kind of stupid.
Yeah, Chuckle Shack. Yeah. Like,
right.
Yeah. Why?
Right, nobody cares.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody feels better about it. Like, and then they have to tell people they're going to Magoobies.
Yeah.
Who are you saying? Like, I'm going to, like, even if you, like, what if you've seen Bill Hicks, who was like, or something, somebody on that level that's like a serious person.
Right.
But he's at Flappers. Like, that just feels wrong. Yeah. And Flappers have nothing to do with, like, that's a whole, then they're like, no, get it, like, from the, no, I get it. I don't understand.
But why?
Poorly.
Right. I get it. I don't understand.
What's the connection?
Right.
Are the Flappers going to do comedy? Like, what's happening?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Wear
right.
a dress, do the
if
whole
that
shebang.
If that was the case, that would be super interesting.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, well, I haven't seen that. I don't know if it keeps working night after night, but it's at least interesting once.
It'd be like dinner theta.
I mean,
Flappers.
Magoobies sound like they just made up a word. So at least Flappers is something that existed.
And it's Magoobies. It's a long, it's Magoobies what? It's a comedy emporium. Like, it's a bigger...
Oh, yeah. Magoobies Joke Emporium.
No.
Or like that.
Yeah. Like, it's a bigger...
No.
Yeah. And it's a great... It is truly a great club.
It's wonderful. It's they run it really well. The crowds
joke
are great.
Emporium?
And I've done it with, like,
Wonka build it?
Yes.
Yeah, seriously. Might as well call it Bibbidi Boppity Boo. Come check me out.
Oh, my God. Bibbidi Boppity Boos.
Yeah.
I'd still rather play that than Flappers. I'd still rather be at Bibbidi Boppity Boos.
There could be a whole podcast on where you would rather play than Flappers.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Again, so, Flappers, great club.
Great club.
Weird
name. Yeah, if you want to sponsor us.
You want to sponsor us.
Yeah, for sure.
We're just putting it out there. Yeah. But yeah, so usually what we ask our guests is we have a segment called Quotables. So we like to ask if you have any quotes that you live by, that you hate, that you are inspired by, motivated by, et cetera. Yeah.
The one, I mean, when I was... I've been sober for a little bit, and when I was first getting sober, I was at a meeting, and you had to share the worst, the worst one, or the one that the you had to share the quote that or the phrase that helps keep you sober, but stupid. Like, it was I was like, what's the dumb thing that keeps your, and it was messy bed, messy head, which is stupid. I remember thinking it how dumb it was, and then going home and like. Like, oh my, fuck, my room's a mess.
Yeah.
And then I took all my sheets off my bed, and then I was like, I opened my drawers and I poured out all my, I just got everything I owned, I put it on the floor. Everything I owned, I put on the floor. And I was single then, so if I did that now, it would be insane.
Yeah, it'd be divorced.
My kids would be super upset. You don't own this. I know, but I need to see it.
Yeah.
All the moments.
And then I just went through everything one by one. I just went, nope, 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 keep, whatever, like
whoa.
That.
That sounds like the magical or the life-changing magic of tidying up, that book by Marie Kondo. Marie Kondo.
Yeah,
kinda
I like that.
Like that.
I mean, I think there is... you guys, you talked about feng shui.
Feng shui, I'm a huge obsessed with feng shui.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And that kind of stuff, like, there is there is just a basic property of not realizing that you've also stored that thing you own in your head.
Totally.
And it also has a place in your head, and it's just sitting back there like that shirt going, are we fucking... Because everything you own is a question to me. It's like, what the fuck are we doing? Am I a shirt or not a shirt? Because this fucking sucks for me, too. Like, I'm like 15 seasons old, dude. Like, I don't... When is this coming back? Are you going to get thin enough? I've seen you get close, but not this close. Let me go. Let me go. Be a shirt somewhere.
Oh, my God.
You know, and all of your possessions, you know, feel like that to me, you know.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I love that idea of, like, your clothes just asking to be unplugged.
Just please, anything, right. And every once in a while, you'll finally wear that thing and go, oh, man, I'm so glad I hung on to this. But rarely.
Oh, yeah.
Agreed.
You know?
Yeah. I've always felt like that with feng shui, that even if you think it's a pile of horseshit with, like, if you put your couch here, then you'll be prosperous. Like, I get that that can be too much for people. But I think there's a basic principle of if your place looks like shit and if there's clutter everywhere, you're not going to feel good. And like your life is probably going to be a mess too.
But also that stuff, like I was trying to imagine my house when I was when you were talking about it, because you had your boyfriend or your relationship room was your bathroom.
Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Like where, and where the other rooms in your house were, and I was trying to figure out like where is our. Where's my desk?
Yeah.
You know, and then is it because the door faces in, but then the house goes back that, like, you know, but I really did think about, I do think there is obviously something in the, obviously the idea of clutter, but I also do think like, and it's sort of hard because once you start trying to, for me, things work on a level that when I basically understand them, it's fine. It's when I really try and pinpoint what I understand that I ruin it. But I know that the last place we lived, I'm like the whole way the house, where the house was and its positioning was wrong. And it felt wrong from when we moved in. It was a beautiful home, but I'm like, it doesn't feel good. And I, you know, it's
that's
a hard thing to do.
Crazy to me.
Yeah. But I went, we moved to this other home recently and it faces a different way.
Yeah,
and we're all happier, and nobody can really explain it. But like, it's just the way we're faced.
Just
I promise
energy.
You, there has to be something in it, or something in me that needs it to be that way.
Yeah,
yeah.
Whatever it is, it you know, I recognize it.
That makes total sense to me.
Yeah,
I completely believe in it.
Oh
the
yeah.
People listening to the show are like, okay, so he's insane. So
no, oh trust me, they're listening. Trust me. No.
They've already heard me be insane.
We have definitely had some.
We had Kira Sultanovich on, and she read our energies just by like putting her
Kira.
Hand,
stroking our bones. Yeah,
Kira is a blast.
Yeah,
she is really
best.
Fun.
She's great.
So funny.
She read your energies.
Yeah,
and it was dead on.
Yeah,
I mean, it was like creepy. I don't know how she could have known it.
No,
unless she has a gift.
Yeah, she just massages your hand while she tells you your secrets. It's super cool.
Yeah, I mean, if she does that to a guy, that like anybody really. Yeah. She's, I mean, she's a very sexy person.
Oh yeah, that's
sexy
true.
Russian
I mean,
woman.
I just yeah. I mean, that's just a you know. I don't think she would be offended by that, but she has a way about her. Where you're like whatever you hear. Just
here's take my hand.
Yeah.
Do what you will with me.
She's also intimidating.
Oh,
she's
very.
She's a big presence, but yeah.
She's
a
beast. I love watching her.
Stage,
I love watching her on stage.
So
yeah.
Not from like the bushes. Like, yeah.
I love following her home. Yeah. It's really fun. Yeah.
So, I mean, I want to get into what you said earlier was that you got into self-help accidentally because I'm sure everybody knows we're going to go over it again. I'm sorry if we're asking you questions you've answered
please,
a billion times. But you were a stand-up comic for how long before you wrote He's Just Not
years.
That Into You? 15 years you were a stand-up comic.
I started in 89, in February of 89 in the book.
Oh, my God.
Came out in the fall of 2004.
Right.
Okay.
And then the movie, if you're listening and going, isn't that a movie? It was in 2009.
So good.
With
the
like
best,
so many stars in it. It was basically like a People magazine with a little more story.
That's so funny. Now you're giving it more credit than it deserves. It had
I love
about
that
this.
Movie so
I love
much.
That movie too.
Truly. I know. Yeah. I know.
It's a great one.
It really was. It's funny. It's funny when you say it. It is a People magazine. Like it was. They just kept. You know. I think I had not a BlackBerry, but the other one that folds out. What was that phone?
A flip phone. Razor.
Not the Razor. It was like the first one.
Palm
it was
Pilot?
Sideways.
Oh, I know what you're.
And it
I
went
picture
like that.
It. Yeah.
Anyway, but. All the names would come in, you know, like they'd say, oh, they cast this person, oh, they cast this person. And you're just like, are you fucking kidding me? Why would they?
Dude, yeah.
You know what
Jennifer
I mean?
Aniston, Ben Affleck, Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean, it
right.
was like,
yeah.
What?
A soon to be
so
superstar,
good.
Bradley Cooper, Justin Long.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know,
it was killer.
Yes.
Jennifer Goodwin.
So good.
Yeah.
It was huge. How involved were you with the script? On that, not at all.
So in sort of classic Hollywood style, so they and you sort of know this going in, but they bought the rights to the book, and then they gave Liz and I, who was the Liz DiCillo, who's the co-author of the book, and a great writer in her own right. But she and I got a shot at the script, and so we wrote a two-hander, and they were like, okay, we wanted to make an ensemble.
Okay.
Okay. So
yeah.
So you're not. So you and I think they probably knew that going in. And so they, I think they kept a couple of names and, you know, they kept like fragments of it, tiny little fragments, and then they just wrote their own script. But that's super common.
Right.
Once you have a producer and they have a whole other, and their idea was better. And I don't mean to diminish our script or Liz, but I just like it was a better way of handling the bulk of, it's not a, there's no narrative in it. It's a self-help book. And I thought they had a pretty good idea for it. You know, my biggest complaint, and I think why it's not as good a film, is that they sort of, at the end, they kind of throw the whole thing away. And
yeah.
You get stuck together with a guy who's really given her no reason to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's, And I got some nasty letters about that from people who were really like, really? You're so, and I'm like, well.
Oh, man.
I did.
What do you mean? So?
Yeah.
You know, also it's a movie and, you know, yeah. And I think, we didn't get a say, so, and I don't think we, I think neither of us could bring ourselves really to read the script when we got it because we were like, oh, I didn't write this. I'm just going to let it happen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And maybe if we'd been more diligent, we could have said, hey, look, you're kind of throwing it all away. But I don't think that would have changed it. People get their idea, you know, that's where the money is. And so, but the other stories that played out still exemplify what was in the book. And the thing that most people relate to is the beginning when she's acting so crazy.
Yes.
You know, that's totally. What girls sort of lock onto, which is what we were trying to sort of show. And then, you know, and originally in Sex and the City, same idea.
Yeah.
Where the idea
nailed
came
it.
From. You know, it was that kind of making, lying to yourself. You know, praying, hoping, rewriting history, you know, putting faith in people you shouldn't, you know, like it just is that kind of that thing. And Jennifer Goodman did a great job with that. My hardest thing was that I love Justin Long, but I'm just like, that's not the guy anyone loses their shit for.
I will agree with that.
I agree with that too. I kind of disagree.
You were into
I would
it?
Lose my shit for Justin Long
really?
In that movie. Yeah.
It was hard to.
But I maybe would see, like, you as a person, just even the way you style out, like, okay, well, that makes sense. She seems like he's. But Jennifer Goodman and him didn't seem like. It didn't look like a match to me. It
just, that makes sense.
That makes sense.
It felt to me like. The people who are going to do the hardest and work in this film are the two lesser stars. So let's put them together.
Yeah.
Not that they aren't.
Right.
But do you know what I mean? I mean, they were not Jennifer Aniston and Ben Affleck.
Totally.
Right. Mm.
And so they felt almost like they should have given that role. They should have given those roles to, I think, bigger actors to really sell that idea. Because I feel like. Nobody took Justin Long seriously enough to. I don't know, but that was my thing.
That's a good point.
Well, by the way,
it is an interesting. It is an interesting thing because there are, you know, so many stories, and the only narrative that really kind of ends in the way that your book, the biggest thing that your book gets across, which is like, if he's not going to do it. If he hasn't done it yet, he's not going to, is the one with Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah.
Where he's like cheating and keeps smoking and lying. And finally she's just like,
bye.
Peace out.
Yeah.
But
the
stuff with Justin Long and like at the end, he's like, you're the exception. And you're like, there's no exception. You're not supposed to be the exception. You're the rule. And then especially the one with Ben Affleck and Jennifer Aniston, where he hasn't married her for like a decade or something. And then
he's
at the end,
perfect.
He's just like, let's get married. And you're like, that doesn't happen.
And the thing that bummed me out about the exception to the rule is that's one of my things. And it's like, you want to be, everybody wants to be the exception, not the rule.
You know,
they want to be the one that, and if you play your life as the rule, if you're like, most of the time, this means somebody's saying, fuck you.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to move on. You're in better shape. If you're like, no, I'm special. He's just very, you know, you may come to find out that he actually was a spy, and that's great. You know,
but
it was Jason Bourne.
Or you know, or that, you know, the people that you auditioned for lost your number. Maybe they did, but probably go audition for something else and move past that. Like those things that we just keep hanging on to the idea that it's going to come back. And so that when they used it like that at the end of the movie, I'm like, you didn't even get that part. Like that was.
Yeah.
But so I just checked out. I was like, you know what? It was a movie.
Yeah.
Fuck, it was literally just a genuine piece of advice for someone that was at work. So the fact that I got all of that out of it was surprising and exciting.
Yeah.
And the idea for the book, how did that come about? What sparked that?
So when we were talking about it in the writer's room at Sex and the City, which is where I was working, and they...
I have so many questions for you.
Yeah, so many questions.
Yeah, well...
So cool.
What do they call it? The short and the dirty. My buddy, Michael Patrick King, who was the executive producer, was just a guy I knew from stand-up. And when he got the job working on Sex and the City, he said, I may have a job for you at some point, I don't know. And I was like, okay, but I didn't hold out for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he came and he said, yeah, listen, the staff is 7 women and 2 gay men, and we need somebody. I'll tell you what he really said, which is, we need somebody to tell us what pussy tastes like. So,
that's amazing.
Yeah,
this
were both.
Incredible.
I had the same response. I'm like, what is happening right now?
Yeah.
What are you saying?
Oh, my God.
He said, I was working in... what was then called internet radio.
Yeah.
Now called podcasting. And for some startup. And he was on our show, and he and I said, are you serious? He's like, yeah, there's we just the seven staff of seven women, two gay men. We'd love someone to come over and just give that male point of view to keep the straight characters in check.
And how far along into the show was this?
Second season.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So, and because that was when he replaced Darren Star. You know, Darren went on to go do other things. Michael became the executive producer. So I would come in twice a week and go, you know, we would just talk about everything.
Yeah.
Including what pussy tastes like.
And what does it taste like, Greg?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very hard question.
That's a very
my answer very is, well, answer. It's like wine, right? They're all different.
Yeah.
Some
such a romantic
some are
answer.
Awesome, and sometimes you can't put the cork back on. Yeah.
It's a situation.
Yeah. You remember, like, the show was super dirty.
Yes.
I mean, it explored, now they seem not dirty, but they explored, you know, I think they were the first show to ever talk about peeing on people or, eating the butt, like all that stuff was like, and that was all stuff that came out of conversations in the room. So those conversations were encouraged.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Really, like, you tell your story and talk about, you know, any kind of weird, bizarre stuff.
Yeah.
Because, it was good because it was coming from women. It wasn't men that were having the conversation. It was women talking about it and being open about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and funny. You know, what if a guy starts sticking his butt in your face and you're like, what do you know? That whole thing.
I just watched the episode. I've seen every episode like 14 times, but rewatching it last night where Craig Gass is like in Overeaters Anonymous and like is going down on Miranda and like wants to make out with her as soon as he's done eating her out.
Yeah.
And she's like, what is this?
Right.
How do I stop this from happening?
Yes.
So brilliant. So relatable.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. And that was, you know, that was somebody in the room that everybody knew, you know, like everybody, they all come from a real place. And then there was also really long, deep conversations about what constitutes a relationship and what's cheating in everybody's mind and why do people cheat and all that stuff. And why, you know, the whole thing with the ring and putting the ring on the chain.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I argued against that in the room. I was like, any guy worth his self-worth wouldn't fucking take that for a day.
Oh, I know. Was like that's a weird.
Right. But Michael argued, well, that doesn't make very good television. It makes better television if he wears it. And then you're angry. And I'm like, right. And then you're like, what are you doing, dude?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that stuff was really fun because you got stuff out of it. And that's how for real, I say it was Jenny Bix, but Liz says it's not. But Jenny Bix was dating somebody that didn't want to come have sex with her one night. And that's how that conversation started.
Wow.
And she's like, is that bad? And I was like, well, it's not good.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. And then she said, well, what if he had to work. He had to get up and work. And my response was, I don't care if he has to fly the space shuttle.
Right.
You fucking come up.
Yeah.
Or let's go. I have a rocket. Let's go.
Take it up the moon.
I sort of joke about it. But the truth is, like, you know, when you like somebody and they want to have sex and you...
They make work.
Guys want to have sex with girls that don't like... Like, guys want to... It's a thing that is a... It's a constant and it's a very big part of our attraction to you or to anybody.
Yeah.
It is with another guy, it's understood.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the rules of sex in the gay community with gay men, there's a sort of like, well, you know, we like this and we don't even actually have to be friends because we both know this is a thing that can be both things.
So clear cut.
It's literally just you and me helping each other out or it can be part of a bigger loving relationship. But there is but the separation between men and women is different because it is experienced different, and that's just a biological thing. So it doesn't mean either person owns, you know, more sex or less sex or whatever. But it is just a different experience. We know that because of the way, like, you just have to go, well, look at all the pornographic magazines and all that. That's all our stuff. You know, you guys have a few. You know, there's less of it. It's just not a visual. It's not.
There is some Tumblr fanfic that gets me going. That's like a lady answer.
Like what?
Oh, no, I don't have any examples. I was making a joke. You took that seriously?
I was like, Taylor, well, you've never told us about this.
No, I'm so sorry. Like women, that's why like 50 Shades of Grey.
I watched that one. Ooh, there's some really good ones.
That's like internet fanfic, essentially, but it got published somewhere.
Oh, gotcha.
But that's like women.
I could get into that.
The reading part of it is the being able to allow you to have your imagination, to have your... So men are like, no, I just a photo, or if you just walk across the room, that'll do me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll just take that and I can use it in, right? But women, like a scenario or a, like a, you know, it just is a different way of, at least from what my what has been explained to me and what I learned in the room was, you know, for women, it takes place in their head, where men are really just sort of like, it's going to be a picture or something. It's just a very,
yeah.
It can be very different. Not that men don't respond to literature, women don't like photographs, but you know, and that's a really hard thing, because we're right now, we want to separate everything, so everybody gets all everything they want, and sometimes we rule out. I know, but we've got centuries of like this behavior and that behavior.
Right,
it does sort of tell us something, and we should be thankful for it. We should be grateful that one half is like this and the other half is like that. And you know, it doesn't. It's not. I feel like it gets assigned a good or a bad value when it shouldn't. It should just be an is.
It just
instinctual.
It's not a negative or positive. It's only a negative or positive as it affects you as a person, you know, in your relationship. But what other people do or how they, you know, and I don't think there's anything wrong with us acknowledging a difference, because if we don't, then we're all playing this game of, did mom get drunk last night? We're not talking about it. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Now we're going to pretend that's not happening to not hurt somebody's feelings or to not, you know what I mean? Like it gets real. It's hard because I have two daughters and I want to make sure that I'm raising them so they can, you know, fulfill whatever it is they want to be. But at the same time, I want to go, yeah, but dudes are different about that.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
It's definitely both. It's a both thing, you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'll just say, like, I watch porn, but like, very occasionally, and I don't think I have the same like need for it that most men do. It's more just like, if that just comes into my head, I'm like, I'll just do that right now because that sounds kind of fun. But it's not, it doesn't, like, I can feel it biologically that it doesn't do exactly what I think it would trigger the same thing for a guy.
I think to men, if I'm being super candid, it calls to them all the time. And anytime.
Right.
Like, and most men masturbate way more than anybody.
Right.
It just is, you know, especially when you go through, when you start getting in when you start getting into self-help and you're in that world and you start hearing, you know, reading things and understanding, like, yeah, like all the new technology, you know, at the end of the day, we're still animals. And someone's let you into the berry patch and you're just eating until you burst.
Like, right. You know, like,
But not all animals do that. But some animals will just eat, you know, I have a big golden retriever, and given the opportunity, he would eat himself to death. He just would eat himself to death. He just wants all the food all the time. That's all they want. He also wants to be held. But I have another dog, a terrier, that's like, I don't even really feel like lunch today. So that's not Is that not good? I don't care for it. Okay. That's vibey. Like, walk up, look at the food, walk away. That feels like a comment. So I think, like, I do think that men are struggling to figure out what to do with it because it's become so available. And I think
access to so much.
You know,
that makes sense.
It should be taught. I was telling somebody, I'm like, it should be taught to young boys. Like, pornography should be addressed. People who make and perform in adult stuff should not be shoved to the outskirts of, you know, they do a service for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So we have this hypocritical relationship with people we probably spend more time with than other, you know what I mean, other celebrated people. And then it should be taught. It should be the moderation and what's good. I mean, and how to assess it, and it should be regulated. Like, there's, I think, because it's here and it's not going away, but I do think some people are abusing it, and I think it, if not curated, people get a message that...
A lot of sex addiction out there now, like a big spike in sex addiction. Like, how do you feel about that whole thing? Do you think, like, how much porn is too much porn, would you say?
When you from your are perspective. Late for things and messed up and
interesting,
aren't involved
yeah,
in your relationships.
Sense.
And, you know, there's just little traces that you can tell with anyone who has any addiction, gambling, drinking, any of it, where you're like, they're not here with me, or they're not focused, or they're not centered, or they're on their phone all the time. I mean, there's, you know. Unfortunately, like any other addiction, there's nothing you can do about it except for to sort of find out if it's happening and then make a decision about whether you're going to keep that person in your life or not. And because at the end of the day, you know, they have to come to a point where they're like, I got to get help with this. The good news is that at first when people said sex addiction, I'm like, oh, my God, what a celebrity won't do to get out of trouble. And you realize that's just the first celebrated person that's been caught doing this. There's other people who have this. And there are people now, guys are going, okay, well, I'm going to go see what that is because maybe I have that.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's only bigger because it hasn't. It's like alcoholism.
Yeah.
It was a bad thing for a while. And now people are like, I'm an alcoholic. And
Where's my book deal?
Yeah, and the sex one's still in the little bit in the creepy area, and it also involves, you know, it goes to all those sort of out, you know, those really tangy things where people have, you know, but that stuff's been around forever. If you read old erotica and Aeneas and all that stuff, you're like, well, what, you know, there's, you know, kings with little princes and all that kind of stuff. And you're like,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But it is becoming, I think, more, like you said, more like alcoholism or something like that more accepted. Like, they made that Mark Ruffalo movie where he was a sex addict. Thanks for sharing.
Great. Yes.
Was it good?
I thought it was good. It had Mark Ruffalo and Gwyneth Paltrow. And if Mark Ruffalo if he's the face of anything, you're automatically going to be like, oh, that could happen to anyone.
Yeah.
Anyone could be a sex addict. Look at his nice face.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, that movie too.
There was another
sex addiction.
Oh,
yes.
Yes.
That was a surprisingly good movie.
It was
good.
But
I think the subject matter made people go, no, thank you. I think people really have a trouble with the what was the one that was pretty dark? Okay, I'm going to turn into an old man. I'm going to try and remember.
If it comes to you, just,
yeah,
you know,
just shout it out at any point.
So you're in the writer's room at Sex and the City. One of the writers is having an issue with a guy who didn't come up to her room, and you're like, he would have if he wanted to. And that's kind of like the thesis for he's just not that into you. If he is into you, he will do something about it. Like, and the great montage at the beginning of the movie where they illustrate that so perfectly is just all these different women going like, well, maybe he lost your number. Or like, oh, maybe he got attacked by a mountain lion. Like, all these excuses we make, and I think we've all been in those positions where I think about that book all the time when I'm dating or something, where you're like, so you flew to a different state to see a dude and he like didn't do anything, and you think like, oh, it was probably miscommunication. Like, no, he just doesn't
one of my best friends got ghosted for the first time like a year ago, and she thought the guy probably died because there's no way that he wouldn't have texted her back. And I'm like, no dude, like, you're getting ghosted, you've been out of the dating game a while. It's a thing people do on a weekly basis. Like, he's probably out having a beer with his buddies.
Right.
He's like, no, I would think it's like more believable that he got into a car crash. Like, we had such a good time on the date.
Well,
like,
that's what I want, that amount of confidence.
Yeah. They die.
They definitely
are
dead.
It's not me. It's them.
They are not
They're
with
dead.
Us.
You know, the question you get all the time is when something like that happens, you know, then somebody goes, why? Well, why would they do that? Why would they say anyone? And the, you know, the truth of it is well, because that's what they thought.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they were trying to think, and then they didn't. Just like you have done that a million times in your life about other things.
Right.
You know, we all have this good intention sometimes of like, no, I'm gonna call you. Let's get together, and you never call them. And most of the time, people are like, okay, whatever. They'll call or they won't. Because usually, when you want to see somebody, you're like, are you around next Tuesday?
Right.
That's what that sounds like.
Right,
that's what a plan sounds like. I'll call you means I really like you and I don't know if I'm ready for this kind of intimacy. Even with a friend, even with the person you like, you're like, how's that going to work? You know what I mean? Like, you just don't know. And then there's people you're like, we have to be, let's get a lunch. You know, let's.
Yeah.
So when, you know, when the universe wants you to have something, it puts it in your path. It just does.
Right.
And when it doesn't. And it's pretty, that rule generally works, whether people believe in that or not, fate or not. It just, is the way it is. And there's no answer to why, and why is the worst of all questions. That's sort of why I kind of, anyway, let's go back. So anyway, that conversation happened with Liz.
Yeah.
And then Liz, the girl who's the co-author of the book, I said he's just not that into you, but I don't remember specifically saying that. And then she said, oh my God, he's just not that into you. Just like it is in the show. She said, and I was like, what? And she's like, he's just not that into you. So when the season ended and it was the last season, Liz said, we should write a book.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. Because it seemed presumptuous to write a book to women and tell them that I didn't know how we were going to do it.
Yeah.
And I didn't like the idea of telling women. I love women. That's my favorite. But I sort of figured this out a while ago. But if somebody hasn't asked you a question, why are you answering? You know, sometimes when you're talking a lot and all of a sudden you go, wait, no one asked me a question. And I just gave a lecture.
You're talking to your dog. You're like, oh, shit.
And when you get married and have a wife and two girls, you realize, why am I talking? Who am I saying this for?
Yeah.
You know, this is like a Wikipedia entry. Yeah. But she said, well, what if I just ask you questions? And I said, well, I could do that, because then that's just my answer, and I'm responding to you, and then that seems fair, and then I'll be that guy. And I'll help you put it together, because I had opinions about self-help books, but I didn't realize we were going to write one. But when we did, my feeling about it is that they're always too long. There's always information you don't care about. There's a lot of unnecessary work to make them feel weighty. And usually they're things that people can't pull off, you know? Mm. People have a lot going on in their lives, and they want their fucking answer, and they want it now.
Yeah.
So I like to say we put it on the cover. I wanted to write just one page that said, if you're standing in a bookstore holding this book, put it down and go home and break up with your boyfriend.
Whoa.
Yeah. If you have a question about it, it's probably not working.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the short of it is, too, is that like when people buy those books initially, like the people that bought it because it was on Oprah are people who are interested or are part of a phenomenon, or maybe they've had this thought. But the people who buy those books initially are in crisis.
Mm. Yeah.
And they don't care about why you came up with your theory. They don't care about who you are. They're not interested. Half the time people are like, oh, that's you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Like they wanted to know, oh, which one of these is me? You know, a magic eight ball.
Yeah.
And so get to the fucking answer and then be done.
Yeah.
Right.
Because the more you complicate it, if it's complicated, it's not a solution.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes
sense.
Just
one more thing to figure out.
I tried to get through The Power Now and I was like, fuck this.
I read that book.
Nothing makes me less in the net. I can't. Now maybe I go back and look at it again, but I really was like, duh.
I love hearing about
self-help.
You've
just made Now too complicated.
Yeah. I didn't connect with that book. Not the way I did with It's Called a Breakup Because It's Broken. book helped me through one of the most traumatic times of my life. Because like you said, I was so desperate to just feel better that I called my mom like, how does this work? What do I do? She's like, go to the bookstore, go to the self-help section, pick something fun that looks cool. And I saw the pink, with the little ice cream on it. I was like, this is for me. And then, I read it in, a day. Probably. And I did everything that it said, and it did. It did help. Like, it eventually got better.
And there's nothing new under the sun. You know, what I said wasn't any different than anybody else has said.
Right.
It's just that I happened to say it at the right time. I was a cast member from Sex and the City, so I had the trust of the people who watched that show. I was on Oprah.
Yeah.
I wasn't Dr. Phil. I wasn't somebody who'd studied relationships. I was just a friend. It was coming from a person who, when somebody goes, I don't like your book, I go, I don't fucking care. I'm not going to start a cult. You know?
Right.
I'm not invested in some sort of, pyramid scheme thing. And so it was just right time, right place. You know? There was a woman who, Sherry Asgrove, I think she wrote Bitches or something of her Bitches.
Skinny Bitch?
Skinny Bitch.
No, not Skinny Bitch.
That's the only one I can think of.
That's so funny. That was a book that my wife and I got asked to write, turn into a TV series. But it's a vegan manifesto, so it's
Yeah, right.
Like, But the two girls that wrote it were like, one was like this and one was like that. And it was hard. And they didn't like our idea. And that was strange. It was a weird side road that we went down because of all this stuff.
Wow.
Member for Bitches or something like that. I can't remember her name. Anyway. But she said, I said the same thing. I go, yeah, no, it came from a different place. That's, you know, but it's a basic rule of, you know, my friend Beth Lapidus runs a comedy show here that was the one that spawned all the people from my particular time period in comedy, had a great phrase, which is a lack of yes over time equals no.
Ooh. Wow. Right. Yes. Right.
Yeah. Yes,
that is a good one.
Yeah.
That is a good one.
That's
a good one.
I love that you said just like making it simple so people can digest it and apply it to their lives. Because if you look at, you know, your three books, it's called A Breakup Because It's Broken, He's Just Not That Into You, and It's Just a Fucking Date. All of your titles like are helpful in and of themselves.
Yeah.
Like just reading like He's Just Not That Into You, someone's going to read just the front and just go like, oh my God, you're right. Or it's called A Breakup Because It's Broken. You're like,
yeah, well, wasn't great
you're
to begin
totally
with.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's just exactly helpful. Like I haven't read It's Just a Fucking Date, but I read that.
Sounds
I was like,
good.
Oh my God, it is. I like it's just off the title.
Right. Yeah. Right. In fact, it's funny too because I'm sort of hypocritical on this thing because you know we got the opportunity to write more books. Mm-hmm. The second book came from a genuine desire to help people who are like, okay, well I broke up with him like you said,
yeah.
And I'm
help
fucking
me.
Miserable.
Now what?
Yeah. And Amira, so and Liz didn't want to write any more self-help books, so she sort of she wanted to. She writes movies and she works in television and all that stuff, and she. And so she decided to do that. But Amira, my wife, who was very instrumental in help in sort of shaping the first book, and I wrote that together. And then...
So cool. Yeah.
That's such a cool thing.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Like, how is writing a self-help book with your wife? Like, how did that even... work.
I mean, sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's incredibly difficult. It's a lot of pressure to put on an already pressurized situation in a way.
Yeah.
And we've been writing one for years now called How to Keep Your Marriage from Sucking.
I was literally just about to ask you, like, what is your secret to marriage? And especially in the world of entertainment and all that stuff.
I mean, the secret to marriage is that it's difficult.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
You know, yeah.
It's another simple one. That's
oh my
just
God.
Like,
oh. It's okay.
It's just not.
What
it's
a great
just not
sentence.
Meant
yeah.
to be. It, like, I don't know what I don't know who reported back that it was. Oh my God! I can't believe that that ruining myself for the person who loves me the most is what I always wanted to do.
Right.
I picked the person that thinks I'm the greatest and forced that on her for every day of her life until she decidedly hated it, just like you do.
Right.
If you eat anything you love repeatedly, you eventually hate it.
Yeah.
Well, why do you hate it? Because I had 42 bags the first night of those cheese pretzel things, and I'm just only now getting back to them again.
Right, just binging a human being.
Oh
yeah.
Man,
yeah. And then there's that, and there's also this thing of like the person you marry should not be your bestest best friend because.
Right.
Because if you dump all your shit on them, like you're like I can tell them anything, yeah, but don't.
Yeah,
don't
that's
actually
good advice.
Save
too.
Some of that for like get a best friend.
Yeah,
or and a therapist,
or a therapist, or a 12-step,
dump
or
on
whatever.
Them. Yeah,
you know one of the things they say in AA all the time that I really like is bring the problem here and take the solution home.
Mm.
You know, you want to be the solution when you get home, and be. It's weird because service is such a weird word. But if I'm in service, meaning if I'm helpful to my wife and to my daughter, if my main job every day is to see to it that I'm, you know, how can I help? What can I do to make things better? My life's better. If I don't do it that way, my life sucks. Mm. So it's not servitude. They don't control my thinking or what I want to do. But if I'm thinking about other people, even... You know, like, why would I do a podcast? Because you asked me to do your podcast. It's a cool podcast. Why wouldn't I go do this? We're all in the same thing together. It's helpful.
Yeah.
I would probably ask you to do something at some point. Like, that's sort of how it works. But if I'm only ever just doing things for me, that's when I end up being not, I end up not working.
Right.
You know, or I end up being alone or angry or, you know, because it's just not the way the flow of things tends to work for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And then people don't even know why they're happy with you. Like, my wife is just better to them when it's suddenly nice to each other.
Yeah.
And then she, and it's reciprocal, but it's really hard to remember.
Yeah.
Because you start building a case against somebody the second you marry them.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Right?
Oh, boy.
Gosh. Oh, yeah. Like, you remember, like, even something they did that day at my wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Been that day. Talk to me like that in front of the photographer. Well, you hadn't brought your sister.
I fed you a bigger piece of cake, so keeping track of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to work on that on stage, where, like, the longer you're in a relationship, the fights become almost like oak trees, where there's, like, rings of things that you circle back to of, like, it's never just exactly what you're fighting about in that moment.
Right.
You always end up bringing, like, pulling in other instances of when they did something similar, and then they're like, well, but you did something like that at this point, and it's like, it just becomes such a long thing.
Right, and that's just all, those are all just resentments that you're just dragging along with you, and that's just, just weighing the marriage down. It's just all this old shit that's, it's over.
Yeah.
All we have is the moment that's coming. That's it. And we don't have, and there's nothing you can do with that stuff except beat somebody over the head with it or ruin a perfectly good marriage, because there's, you build equity that you don't understand. And, like, so, you know, I had cancer, or we had kids, or, you know, there's, like, those events that are just yours. And then, you know, nobody talks about it. Like, on the day, on the good days, you know, I can't get home fast enough to see my wife, or I can't, sometimes I'll just look at her and I'll be like, fuck, you know, but it's just it's a thing. And then there's also days where I look at her and I go, fuck. You know? And then there's some days when I realize who she's married to, and I go, oh my God, why would you do this? You know, like, you do realize, like, you're, you know, everybody's a handful, you know?
Yeah.
And they've decided to do this fucking forever.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Your version of forever.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then kids, that whole thing, that's, that really, I don't think guys see that coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially now. Because when I was a kid back before electric light, the parents were the centerpiece of the family. So it was really about that relationship. And the parents were the, you know, so kids were, like, they were important. But when dad got home, you know, in the old days, it was like, okay, go to your rooms. Go be quiet.
Yeah.
You know, and during the summer, people were like, get the fuck out of here. Just go. Like, nobody was interested in how you were feeling. Like, it wasn't.
Yeah.
And now, kids are the fucking centerpiece of everything. It's all we talk about as a country.
Yeah.
We're like, you know, that we got to make sure. And
how are
Facebook
the kids?
Pages and all that stuff. And I have a theory that the reason that they're on their phones all the time is because they fucking don't want to stop looking at them. Stop looking at me. Stop. I'm fine. Fuck. Stop asking me questions.
Yeah.
I'm just looking into a black. Mine doesn't even work. Just leave me the fuck alone. You know, we want to know what they're doing all the time, and we force them into the phone. And it's like, go into the other room and read a book like my dad, and be something that they're curious about, not something that's on them that wants to help them.
Yeah.
You know? But I also think for guys, you know, because, you know, as time goes on, men become way less useful. Like, we've about done our thing.
Yeah.
And women are so involved in parenting now, or in that typical setup.
Yeah.
And it is still in this town around here. It still is more women are involved. I go to things at school. It's mostly moms, even the working moms.
Right.
Even when I was at school, at the school I was at, Gwen was there, not Gavin, from when they were married. Right?
Yeah. Wow.
Just is the way it is sometimes. I mean, she arguably is the bigger worker in that coupling, right? And that's just the way we've set things up.
Yeah.
But I think guys are like, well, wait, where's my wife? you know, and a lot of women are like, I am too fucking tired. And quite honestly, my kids give me the satisfaction that I need for love. And you are just talking.
Yeah. How old are your daughters?
12 and 15.
Oh, wow.
And they're lovely. They're the nicest fucking people. They are so nice. Funny and so nice. And I think, I'm not recommending this, but I got cancer a couple years ago. And I think, when you're old enough to know what that is, but not old, you know, but not completely.
Right.
But you have some sense that your father could, you're like, oh, he's mortal. I think that sort of made it. So that they brought the family close in this way that you couldn't otherwise, I think.
Yeah.
Because I was on the road a lot when they were really little. So that sort of put this bond that made them very, I still get a little attitude every now and again, which I would be bummed if I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I would be teenagers. Like,
I'm always telling my oldest that your fucking window opens to the street. That's where you sneak out.
You're too good a kid.
Go have some fun.
I'll put a stool out there for you to step on because you will hurt yourself.
That's incredible.
You know, the more room you give them, the less they tend to take.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a good one too.
Yeah.
But they're also girls, and they have that thing where you watch a mood just go right through them. It's just like a weather front. It's just I'll just watch my daughter's face go. Just drop,
yeah,
and she'll be selling, and then it'll go away, you know. And and then you just wait it out, it's easier when you're a dad because all the difficult shit takes place behind doors that you're not invited to.
You don't want to be invited to
the lady talks.
All that stuff is does anyone want pizza or can I help in any way?
Does anyone need a ride?
That's it. If you got a ride or you want to watch Lost?
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So going back to, and I'm going to ask you about something I heard that you talk about on another podcast, so I apologize for that.
Yeah, no.
But I heard you talk about, I think it was on Allison Rosen's podcast, where you were talking about when you were diagnosed with cancer and your first thought was like, oh, well, I've had a really good life.
Yeah.
So which is incredible to me that you had that response.
To be fair, I was high as a kite. Because a thing called non-Hodgkin's B-cell lymphoma, so I had tumors in my intestine. So it was painful. It went from like feeling sort of like, do I have gas?
Right.
To like just being set on fire from the inside.
Wow.
Really painful. And so they doped me up. But even not doped up, I didn't feel like regrets. Like, I'm like, well, I didn't not go for it.
Yeah.
You know? Like it wasn't even the accomplishments as much as like, well, even my mistakes were epic. Yeah. When I fucked up big, you know? And there was a lot to talk about, and I was able to take those mistakes and make them into something, and so I didn't feel cheated, I think, was the deal. I mean, it's never going to be a convenient time to go, and you'll always want to see more, but at a certain point, you also have to go, yeah, look what I got out of it. You know, you don't get to pick where you were born, and I grew up white, and I grew up white and wealthy in America. Like that's, I was given all the advantages, and not that I would be unhappy if I was born in some other way. I don't know anything else.
Right.
But I definitely I have gratitude for what I was given.
Yeah, that's like scrolling out to like the most amount of gratitude. It's just like, I was born in America. Like, that's just like already an easier life than a lot of people on the planet.
Yeah.
But I also have friends, like, I also realize that human beings are really, really, really adaptable. And that, like, you know, we have an idea of what we think poverty feels like, and we have an idea of what we feel, you know, and everybody that's in those situations is there because they can handle it and they can make it better. They can, you know what I mean? Like everybody struggles at every level, and reality is so personal that pain is like your pain and my pain probably feel the same for different reasons.
Yeah, right.
But they're just pain. It's just pain, and neither one of them is more or less valid. Just because somebody has money doesn't mean they aren't allowed to hurt. And
that makes sense.
You know, have a dollar to their name are allowed to be happy and feel proud of themselves. Like it really is relative.
We
assign all these values to it, and that's why, like, I mean, you don't want to get into the deeper thing, but the whole reason the Democrats fucking shit the bed is this sort of weird third party talking about the working class. Like, well, who the fuck are they?
Right.
You know what I mean? There's actually just rich people, and then everybody's trying to figure it out. And and nobody sees themselves as working class or middle class, because we're a very aspirational country. So nobody's like, I just want to be right here in the middle. Thanks.
Yeah.
I just want my insurance and a couple of movies a year, maybe take a vacation. Like, who the fuck are you condescending? Look at people who build things. Like, we're such fucking dicks.
Yeah.
You know, it's so condescending that you're like.
That is such a perfect impression of people like in LA and entertainment. Like, you just need someone, like someone told me, a friend of mine told me once, like, you just need to like date a guy who builds boats. That was his idea of like a normal dude.
Yeah.
Like, build shit with your hands.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Fuck, if I met a guy that built boats, I'd be in awe of him. I'd be like, what are you? I don't even know how to turn on a light. Like, how do you operate? Why didn't I learn anything like that? You know, it's funny because you look back and you're like, the things that we sort of, our movies in the, you know, in the 80s and 90s, the things we were told to value were like, you know, do something every day that you love. Well, you know, it turns out I love having money.
Yeah.
And I love paying for my kids' school. Yep. I really don't care if I'm famous. Like, I'm like, I think I might have prioritized wrong here.
Yeah.
Because I have no skills. I can't build anything. And, you know, I feel like they're, and then we villainized factory work. Like, I don't want to stay in the same town or work in this factory. Why? Because I only make $25.50 a minute. And I'm protected by the unions. And there's actually nothing wrong with having a craft. And my work isn't my life. My family, like, we sort of did it to ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
So that everyone could paint. I guess that's what we all want to do.
Right. Yeah.
A mural.
It's really weird. It's a really weird thing, you know, and and so the separation in this country is understandable, because you know we've made regular work seem like it's something for peasants.
Totally.
And then I'm gonna invent an app.
Yeah. I want you to write a book called Everyone Can't Paint.
Yeah.
It's just like about how
great.
You can't all be like these swishy.
That's so
right.
good. Everyone can't
take a trade.
Yeah. Oh my God. Welcome to Everyone Can't Paint. I used to love Tenacious D used to do that bit where they would talk about you must rock, but we'll come back and visit. And if you are not, you have to promise to stop.
Yeah.
You know, that thing of like,
that should be said at open mics. Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
Right. Yeah, no, we did it. We got to yank your card. Yeah. And here's why. There's a life waiting for you out here, and it's not the one you're trying to force on everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Because
you just seem angry, which is fine. Be a lawyer.
Yeah. Be a lawyer.
Oh, totally. Man.
Yeah. It's, I think there's too much. I feel like we put this value on, I mean, everyone loves to be creative, but teaching, a lot of times creativity is just teaching yourself a skill, which can be anything from golf to painting like that, but it doesn't have to be your vocation.
Mm,
and
yeah.
we can do a lot of those things. Like, it turns out, after years and years of wanting to be a band and all that stuff, I'm really happy just recording stuff into my iPad and listening to it and playing with it and never showing it to anybody. And it all sounds like it's happening to me, and I enjoy the fuck out of it. And I don't, it doesn't need to be any bigger than that.
Yeah.
But we want to make something out of what we're doing, and, you know.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do think there are, you know, there's some people you watch them act, and you went, well, that was a calling, and thank you for doing that. Because
right? Thank you for pursuing that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain people where you're like, where else would Kanye work? What else? Like, he's not gifted.
Welcome to Walmart.
How could he have any job
Best
anywhere?
Best Walmart greeter there's ever been.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Some of those That's people, you're like, that is, you have, what
gosh.
You're doing is, you're right, that is your calling. That's what you were meant to do.
And,
Taylor Swift could definitely passive aggressively fold shirts at the game.
Oh, my
Kanye,
gosh.
Definitely
Fuck.
Not.
She's a regional manager. But if she'd been around during Mary Kay, she would have had a fleet.
She would have the convertible.
Oh, fuck, she would have had the pink convertible right away.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I think we definitely glorify that a little bit, even on this podcast, where we really urge people, like, find what your creativity is and follow that. Don't be afraid. But we also need nurses and shit. So, like, it's good when people are doing a job that they actually like that isn't painting necessarily.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, we need that. And you can still, if you like painting, do it at home or whatever.
Yeah.
But you don't have to sell it.
I think we also lie to ourselves that there isn't any creativity in running or building a business or being able
totally.
To put numbers in order. If I could put numbers in order, if I knew how to count, if I knew how to do math, if I understood math, if I was good at it, there's a beauty in that. I don't know why we've decided that pleasure only looks like a performance in front of people.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, and I know, like, I have a buddy who's a salesman. He sells electronics, and he's been my best friend forever, and he's a great bass player, and he does a lot of things. He's a fucking fantastic salesman.
Yeah.
And he's trustworthy, and he's a guy that you'd want to have sell you something expensive, and you go, totally. Fuck, somebody has to do that.
Yeah. We can't have all crooks doing that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, somebody has to, like, be a guy Somebody's who's like, my job is to get you from this thing to this thing safely.
Yep.
And also, I know what's best, and that's what you're paying me for. You trust me? And I'm, so I don't, and I think there's a thrill in being able to do that, I would imagine.
Yeah, my friend's an iron worker.
I got really good at waiting tables. Yeah. I didn't hate it.
You didn't hate it?
No, I used to work at a Mexican restaurant where I didn't understand the difference between a burrito and a chimichanga. Like, I didn't know that they seemed like they were all wrapped in tortillas. Yeah.
They are generally.
But at the end, you know, I was waiting on tables of, you know, 20 and 30 and, you know, carrying hot fajitas out, and it's in San Francisco, and I wore my shirts nice and tight. And
get more tips.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I liked it. I was good at it. I felt proud. You know, I mean, I felt like I wanted to do other things, but I didn't mind being good at something and feeling like when people are like, good job. And you go, okay. Yeah. You know, this has to be done. But we take the value out of that for some reason because it's not I do feel like some of this is aspirational to the point of being destructive, you know, of not actually adding back to the whole, because we're emphasizing the self. You can be amazing and your whatever your dreams are, but, you know, but if your dreams don't involve a lot of other people, it's weird in some ways.
Right.
You know,
that's why social media is sort of frightening with, like, young people, you know, people who are like your daughter's age, who don't sound like they're the type of people who are writing, you know, in class, I want to be a YouTube star when I grow up.
Right.
But that's, like, a lot of people's goals now at that age, is to just be famous talking to a camera alone in their bedroom about nonsense.
Yeah.
Like, to, you know, 20,000 people or whatever. So
because it seems so much more accessible now.
But exactly.
Yeah. I was talking to an actor last night, and he was saying, he goes, you know, it's interesting. Vine has changed the way people direct, and it changes the way, because the kids who grow up on that stuff, they like those rhythms, right? We look at it and go, that's just bad editing, and that guy's staring at the camera for too long, and his reaction looks completely fake. But kids have grown up going, well, it makes me laugh. And then you're like, oh, I'm old. And it changes the shape of the medium. And you know, those YouTube kids are what they're putting in comedy clubs now, and that kind of thing. And and I
selling
know,
them out,
right?
Right. And I realize, like, some of my daughter's weird things, if I like her sort of weird phrasing or her comedy chops, which make other kids laugh, and I'm like, that seems weird to me. And then I realize, oh, that's what YouTube stars sound like, and that's she's parodying that. And I mean, she's a really funny mimic. And so I don't even realize what she's making fun of when she's doing it. And then I go, oh, my God, you're making fun of those people. And I'm not even it's too many levels away from my head.
Yeah.
You know, but it's sort of what is coming or what is.
Yeah.
You know? Sometimes you're like, no, people make. No, they don't. As soon as but the death knell of anything is when somebody says people will always love. No, they won't.
Yeah.
People are going to always want a record. Nope. Turns out, no.
Right.
They're going to want something to look at with that CD. No. They're going to not give a fuck who it is, but they'll want to see a video. No, they actually won't. They'll go to their Instagram, and they'll look at their picture of them, and that'll be enough. What is Instagram? Exactly. Like, there are no absolutes, you know? Yeah. And if you get hung up in an absolute, you're going to be in trouble because it's, you know, they go away all the time.
Yeah, it's changing so fast.
Man. Yeah, yeah.
I have a professional question for you.
Yes.
So I've kind of dabbled in writing and stand-up and several things, and you have dabbled in a lot of stuff, or, you know, you're professional and everything. What do you like doing the most?
This?
This? Hanging out, podcasting?
Talking about this stuff?
Okay.
Yeah, truly. Like, I do.
That's how I feel.
Yeah, I like talking about the human condition, and I like talking about behavior. Like, the reason that it was interesting, because it sort of is what you do as a stand-up, is you look at something that happens in your life, and then you go out and tell people, isn't this stupid? Or, you know, you sort of repeat the experience and, you know, break it down in your head. I took a critical thinking class in college, but I never studied, really went into psychology or any of those other things, which I think probably at this point would hinder me. Mm. Because when you're not a psychologist, you're supposed to understand everything, then you're supposed to sort of teach in that way, and you're beholden to the principles and things that you know, as opposed to somebody like me who's just sort of going on intuition and observing, right?
Yeah.
Which we get to do as artists. That is one of the things artists get to do, is sort of observe and then interpret and then say to somebody, I'm telling you this as an artist, not as a professional.
Yeah.
All the rest of it is, you know, I mean, I like performing stand-up, but not always.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because sometimes there's connection, but sometimes it's just working through people getting served food and wishing they made other plans, even when they like you.
Right. Yeah.
And writing on a show, I like the being in a room, but the actual writing of it, I find tedious.
Oh man, I'm the same. You are saying everything that I have said on this podcast. Yeah. Like, I like the collaboration. I like the talking. I like being in a room with other writers or whatever it might be. But yeah, the solo stuff for me, or just like doing stand up every night, it made me very depressed. Like I felt very like, oh, I need people around me or something.
Right, and I do better when people ask me questions or I ask them. I like asking people, you guys have mostly asked me questions, but and my wife is really good at this. My wife's a really good question answerer, and she's also, like, I mean, ask her. She asks things, I go, fuck, I'm so shallow. I would have never thought about that. She remembers things I don't remember. But she'll ask questions sometimes. I'm like, that's so smart, you know? But it's just from her perspective. But yeah, I like think tanking. Like I like, because I don't know everything. I have no idea. Like when people go, well, how come you don't give dating advice? Because I don't date. I don't know what it's like now. I mean, I can tell you that your principles should be the same no matter what you do. And then just because somebody people are like with all the electronic stuff, it's like you still have to be a good person no matter what you do. And you have to use your standards everywhere. And so if you wouldn't take your clothes off in front of them, why would you take a picture of it?
Right.
Totally. Oh, my gosh. Seriously, the whole dick pic thing can just get out of here.
At a certain point, like there was a threshold where suddenly guys were then just sending their own. Like when it went from this girl sent me a picture to now guys are just like, check it out.
They're dick pics. Yeah.
Somebody showed me their dick in the green room. Like, hey, what do you think? Is this a good one? I was like, I guess it's a fine photo. The lighting is good.
Like, hey, you want to see it?
Which is, like, in a weird way, you go, but that's also, like, it's cool and we're all comics and somebody like, that's also a crime. That's a crime.
It's
actually a crime. Like, if I took my dick out there in the parking lot here, took it out, I would, that would be it.
You'd get arrested. Yeah, that would
be it. And everything. But you can shoot one around, or somebody can receive one. If you've given your number to somebody, then that sort of ends up as consent.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, very. Right? It's true.
Right, and so you know, on the other hand, not giving it any power, you know, or realizing like you got to realize what you just did.
Yeah.
You know, I at one point, I was like, but I also know like when I worked at Second City, there was, and I know it's different now, but 25% of only 25% of American women had ever looked at their vaginas, like.
Fully.
Oh, 20%?
Yeah, I'd never taken a look.
Wow. Yeah, that hand mirror thing's new.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. Yeah, that's like a fairly recent development, I feel
like. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. But I'm like, guys, guys were told to stop showing everyone their dicks when they're kids.
Yeah, right.
They're like fucking, you know, yanking on it and showing you. Like,
yeah.
I got a butthole too. Like I got the whole, you know, all this. Like that's kids are, guys are like that. They're like, look what I have.
Yeah.
You know, it's this thing. It's been, it's like everything else. It's presented on the outside. And
exactly.
It's, there it is.
Yeah.
And,
right.
I mean, how is this different than my arm or, you know what I mean? Like that they send pictures, they're delighted to take them because they think you're going to have the same response as if you had sent a picture of any part of you.
Yes.
If you just sent a picture in a tank top, they're like, well, fuck, it is on.
Yeah.
You
know what I
mean? Like, she's only, it's just
a hair. Here comes my helmet. Like, okay.
Yeah. Like, and so like, she's going to love this. And you're like, it looks like a broken broom handle.
Yeah.
Ooh, right. And again, that's not to say that women don't like that, but I fairly certain it's as a, just a straight up greeting. It's
yeah,
a lot.
It's way yeah. too much. It's so jarring. Yeah.
And I, and as I say in my stand up, they're just ugly anyway. You guys, anyone who I'm like anyone who puts one of those in their mouth, bless them.
They made bless a, them. Holy water.
Yes.
They made a Lord's deal work. With them. They told them. They had to tell themselves it was cool looking at one point. They're like, it's like when you take your first shot. You're like, okay. I like it. I'll have another one. Yeah. I'll get this. Used to it. I'll get used to it. Right? You get used to it. You develop a taste, and then eventually you want it, right?
Yeah.
It's like scotch. It's like old scotch.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I've been doing a joke recently about how, like, explaining seeing a dick to somebody who's never, like, seen one, like, a straight guy is, like, you know, seeing a dick is, like, you know when you come home and you thought your roommate was out, but they're actually just sitting in the dark eating pasta?
Oh, my God.
It's kind of like, oh, okay, give me a second. I recognize you. I know what's happening now. I just didn't expect. Like, it's just a lot.
Yeah.
Oh,
God. Yeah.
That's really true. That's yeah. super funny.
Yeah. So I think that's startling. So funny. Yeah. All right. We should
wrap it up.
Oh, my gosh. This was, that was awesome. Thank you so much for doing this.
It was my pleasure.
This is great.
So much good information. I feel like I'm going to listen back to this and just be like, oh, my gosh, I totally missed that. And I need to get my life together.
I feel like I paid to attend a really cool TED Talk. Like, I learned so much. Yeah. This was amazing.
I love a TED Talk. I think if I'd known TED Talks were a thing, I would have done that.
Yeah.
Because
you'd be good.
Yeah, seriously.
I have never given a
TED Talk. You should do that.
That seems so strange to me.
I do. You know what I do? If a joke bombs in a club, I just walk 5 feet away from the microphone and go, and that's what I used to be like. That's what I thought was funny. How is everybody?
You just turn it into a testimony.
That's right. Did you see all the attention I wanted up there earlier?
That's brilliant.
That was old Greg.
That's
but
old
I've
Greg.
Sloughed him off.
Yes.
That's brilliant. Hysterical.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah. Is there any social media you want to plug your podcast one more time?
Oh, yeah. The podcast is called Rock Out with Your Doc Out. And then my wife and we sort of decided to, we made one for fun, like a podcast. And we're going to do another one.
Nice.
That will probably be called How to Keep Your Marriage from Sucking, but we'll see.
I love it. I will listen to that.
So I know. Fast. That's great.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, you guys, please go to our Facebook page, Self Helpless Podcast. Like that. Leave a review on iTunes. Subscribe. Review. All that good stuff. You can email us at selfhelplesspodcast@gmail.com. No hyphen. Just all one word. Mm-hmm. If you want to give us suggestions, advice, any of that stuff. And thank you again so much, Greg.
Thank you.
Really appreciate
it. Awesome.
All right.
Talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Why won't it let me be?